The next presentation, which is going to be partly in the room and partly virtual, and I think it will be one that you'll enjoy. So, Strengthening the Dimensions of Non-Visual Learning is our next presentation, and there are a number of people participating in this presentation who have been part of our efforts to stimulate the education and innovation for blind people in science, technology, engineering, and math. This is always a powerful moment in our convention, especially when we can hear from the next generation who have been impacted by the work that we've done. And it's a good time for us to think about how we can transform our own learning in ways that impact not just blind people, but the broader community. And for a number of years, you've heard about our SABRE program, which we have been undertaking to teach and explore spatial reasoning and understanding, and really stretch the dimensions of what non-visual access means and how we can contribute to the broader understanding of engineering. Here to lead us in this presentation is someone that has become very well known in many parts of this convention. In this context, she is serving as our director for our NFB SABRE program. She also now has the distinction of being a Jacob Bolotin Award winner. Here's Dr. Natalie Shaheen.
All right. Hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Brilliant. Good morning, friends. Before we get started, I want to let you know a transcript of this presentation is available online. You will find a link on the Crowd Compass app and in the tweet I posted this morning. I also posted a link in the Zoom for those participating virtually. As you may have deduced from the announcement and the materials that hopefully were passed around your delegation earlier, this session is going to employ a pedagogical approach that's a little different than what you're accustomed to. Unless, of course, you know me well, in which case, nothing about this presentation will come as a surprise, including my use of the word pedagogy. The NFB Total Learning Opportunity spatially and the and six index cards, see your affiliate president or the NFB EQ students and mentors who are scattered around the room. NFB EQ friends, can you make some noise so folks know where you are? Please materials as quietly as you can. NFB EQ for short is a program of the Spatial Ability and Blind Hearing Project, which you may recall, Dr. Lincoln back to blind sounds through the through this national, we held face-to-face programs in Baltimore in 2018 and 2019, and remote programs in 2020. And 2020. As you will soon hear from the students, the face-to-face programs project in which design engineered a place of their own and then constructed a scale model of their place. The remote programs focused on the art and math of paper folding as well as its engineering applications. Students learned tessellations and fractions, and they learn mathematical laws that govern origami. That's right, there are four mathematical laws that govern origami. Two, hey, colorability. Natalie, yeah.
You're a little choppy on your internet, so I just wanted you to know. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it.
Probably
nothing. Phone?
No, I'm on the computer.
Okay.
Well, I could try turning off the headset and we could use the mic from my computer. Maybe it's an audio issue.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out a little bit. So try that.
Okay, hold on a second. How's that?
That's good.
That's good. All right. Hang tight, just a second. All right, cool. So the four mathematical laws that govern origami, let's get back to that. Two colorability, mountain valley counting, angles around a vertex, and layer ordering. If you want to learn more about the mathematics of origami, I recommend the work of Drs. Robert Lang and Thomas Hall. Madeline Mao, a 2021 NFBEQ online participant who hails from New Jersey, is here to share her NFBEQ experience. Here's Maddie.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much. So there are many things middle school science classes might be known for. Long lectures, zany teachers in periodic table t-shirts, or group labs devolving into good-natured horseplay among classmates. My science education had some of those things, mostly the former, but there was an even bigger component many people overlooked, the inaccessibility of STEM education. Since early childhood, I had been given a science education far less adapted for my learning needs than that of my sighted peers. This manifested in a myriad of ways. Teachers using inaccessible materials, sloppy or non-existent tactile graphics, reduced opportunities for my participation in labs, and my needs being given less importance by the teacher, to name a few. These patterns caused me to become apprehensive about pursuing STEM as a career or subjecting myself to more rigorous STEM education, as I feared all of it would be similar to what I had previous experience with. My freshman year of high school was filled with similar hurdles and challenges as my middle school career. Teachers continually underestimated me or tried to put me in lower level classes than what I should have been allowed to take because they didn't want to deal with adapting complex material for me or thought I was incapable of understanding the concepts, even though the only difference between me and my peers was my blindness. However, I started gaining a new perspective when I enrolled in the National Federation of the Blind's EQ program for high school students last summer. It has been almost a year since the program ended, but I still treasure the lessons and techniques it has taught me, as well as the connections I made with other blind students and members of the Federation. The curriculum is rigorous, with many activities devoted to developing spatial reasoning skills through technical drawing, paper folding, and puzzle solving. My peers and I were given many challenging assignments that encouraged us to reframe how we thought about STEM as a whole through conversations with blind STEM professionals and resources about blind people in STEM fields. We were also provided with many manipulatives to participate in hands-on activities like folding origami boxes, making fractals out of index cards, and drawing multi-view sketches of various objects in our daily lives. There were also ample opportunities for combining spatial reasoning with recreation, like when we were encouraged to build Legos with non-visual instructions, or given origami pop-up books to deconstruct and analyze. Though this curriculum contained vastly different activities compared to my standard science education, it has proven to be far more valuable. It introduced me to advanced spatial reasoning concepts, gave me transferable skills I could use in my mainstream classes, and showed me how fulfilling accessible STEM could be, complete with advice from successful blind people in the workforce. The EQ program not only had engaging activities and lessons, but it also had a student showcase where my peers and I could present projects inspired by what we learned, which was one of the biggest highlights for me. It showcased everyone's unique perspective on what we learned, in addition to their skill sets and other interests. Some students who knew about web development created websites sharing EQ resources like origami patterns and Lego instructions in adapted formats, as well as new patterns they created. Others used the skills they learned at EQ to make detailed paper creations that highlighted their spatial thinking and inventive mindsets. And others, like me, wrote about their positive experiences and takeaways to tell the world both the benefits of adapted STEM education and why it is essential for all blind students, STEM inclined or not. After reflecting on my experiences in the NFB EQ program, I still don't know if STEM truly is for me. I worry a lot about what my future science education will look like, or if higher level STEM classes will be accessible so I can succeed. As I am speaking to you all today, I am a rising junior in high school and have just finished a school year filled with the same unadapted STEM materials and uncooperative teachers on top of a more demanding course load and the daunting prospect of choosing a career. However, I now understand how STEM can become more than inaccessible experiments or inflexible teachers. I've been fortunate to experience how an accessible and engaging science education can boost confidence and open up new possibilities for myself and my blind peers. And I hope others will have easy access to such opportunities in the future. Thank you.
You can stay at the mic if you need to.
Thanks so much, Maddie. Now, are y'all ready to be active learners? All right, you will need your origami paper for this first activity. Before we get started, a couple of notes about mindset. First, we all come to today's activity with different knowledge and experience. In the Federation, we have some skilled origami artists. I'm not one of them. Today's activities are for you, whether you're a skilled origami artist or someone who has never folded paper. Each of us will have different takeaways from today's activities. Your takeaways might be about how to fold paper to make interesting shapes, or they might be about how to support others in developing that knowledge. Second, each of us uses a different combination of supports to learn. Your learning supports might be personal capacities, like your sense of touch, digital tools, analog tools, or other humans. Whatever combination of supports works best for you is perfect. From my perspective, learning supports do not exist in a hierarchy. I encourage you to use whatever combination of supports suits you today. A couple of supports specific to these activities that are available. For those who prefer to read, you will find written instructions for the activities in the transcript, which again is linked on the Crowd Compass app and in the tweet I posted this morning. Our NFB EQ students, mentors, and staff are on the floor to provide human supports. Can y'all make some noise again so folks know where you are? You will also find human supports all around you. It's the Federation way to help each other out. I am sure the folks around you would be pleased to support your learning. Now, let's fold some paper. This activity has two rounds. In the first round, you will fold, and in the second round, you will teach. So grab one piece of origami paper. Fold the paper at least 3 times. You have 1 minute to fold your paper at least 3 times. When the music ends, your time is up. At least, could be more. All right, round two. Now it's time to teach someone near you how to fold what you folded. You can use any teaching method with which you and your partner are comfortable. If you want a challenge, try teaching or learning using words only, no tactile or visual exploration. You'll have 4 minutes to teach. There will be two songs in this round. Each song will be 2 minutes. I suggest each partner teach for the duration of one song, but if you feel a different use of the time would better support your learning, go with your gut. Awesome. I loved all the active learning noise. Oh, we're still. All right, there's the end of the music. All right, loved all the active learning noise. If you're having fun folding paper, I invite you to continue folding as we hear from some more students. I ask that you fold quietly and don't fold your index cards yet. Next, we have a fire round of recorded presentations from our NFB, from five of our NFB EQ students.
Hi, my name is Abby Duffy and I'm from New Hampshire. I participated in NFB EQ in both 2019 and 2020. In both of these programs, I was able to learn a lot about science, but I was also able to have a lot of fun. In 2019, some of my favorite memories are making new friends and experiencing a lot of things. Also, we built these really cool wooden models that I still have to this day. In 2020, I also participated in NFB EQ, and this one was a virtual EQ because 2020, but I had a lot of fun on this one as well. I feel like we got to learn a lot of new things and listen to a lot of cool speakers, and all in all, I'm just really glad I got to participate in both of these programs.
Hello, I'm Robert Eggleston from Virginia. I was one of the participants in the NFB EQ virtual 2021 summer session. I believe that the most valuable skill I took away from that program was how to think and divine in three dimensions, which I learned through the lessons involving origami and multi-view drawings. Now, this skill both helps me when navigating through buildings and when designing STEM-related projects.
My name is Andrea Cataquis from Illinois. In 2021, via Zoom, I attended the NFB STEM EQ program, where we did a variety of fun activities, such as origami, and ended the program by creating a project where we could share our experiences and the things we learned.
Hello, my name is Gabriel Minas Francis, and I am from Alabama. I participated in the NFB EQ, that is the Engineering Quotient program from 2019. And the favorite part about the program for me personally is that most of the other STEM programs that I've been to have been kind of concept-based or theoretical. Like, they show you what you have to do, but they never actually show you how to do it. But we actually went hands-on with the project. So we had to study architectural engineering. And then after that, we applied some of those concepts by looking at different ways that it could work bit by bit. And then ultimately, we made a final project, a structure of our own. And it was all completely creative, no guide rails. So I built an observatory. And I actually still have it to this day.
Hi, my name is Maura. I am a college student right now, and I am from Nebraska. I participated in NFB EQ in 2019. It was a really great experience. We got to build little models of rooms that we would like to have someday. Mine was a Netflix room. Don't ask me why. But it was a really fun time, and we got to make drawings and measure the balsam wood as much as we could do with the angles we had. Mine was a hexagon. And at the end of the week, we got to do an exhibition in front of a lot of NFB leaders. And so I got to answer some really cool questions. And it was really fun to see people that were truly invested in my future and didn't see my blindness as an obstacle.
Many thanks to Abby, Robert, Andrea, Gabe, and Maura. Remember Maddie mentioned making a fractal out of index cards at the beginning of this presentation? Well, that's what we're going to do now. Don't worry, you don't have to have a deep understanding of fractals to fold one. In fact, folding a fractal is a great way to learn about them or refresh your memory. Today, we are going to fold a Menger sponge, a fractal Emily Gibbs of Texas originally introduced me to. We are going to fold this fractal in four rounds. The first three rounds we'll do together. And the fourth round, you can do with some friends later. For round one, you will need two index cards. We are going to orient the two cards so they are perpendicular to one another. Perpendicular lines intersect at a 90 degree angle. Examples of perpendicular lines in everyday life are a traditional four-way stop, a lowercase print T, and a cross. Take one card and orient it horizontally or left to right. Take your second card and lay it on top of the first in a vertical or up and down orientation. You should have a shape that resembles a cross or street intersection. Examine each of the legs of your cross and make sure all four are about the same size. take the top leg of your cross and fold it back and around the horizontal card to create a flap. Do the same thing with the bottom leg. Fold it back and around the horizontal card to create a second flap. At this point, you should have one horizontal index card with a second vertical card folded around it, creating two flaps in the back. Now, take the left leg and fold it up and around the vertical card to create a third flap, this time in the front. Take the right leg and fold it up and around the vertical card, creating the fourth and final flap in the front. The technical term for this shape is square flappy thing. If you're with me, you should have two index cards folded into a square with two flaps on the front and two flaps on the back. I'm going to give you a minute to finish making your square flappy thing. I encourage you to solicit support from the folks around you or offer support if you are finished. For round two, you will need your four remaining index cards. With those four cards, you need to make two more square flappy things. I'll give you 1 minute to do that. Solicit support as needed. In round three, we are going to make a cube. Each index card will serve as one face of the cube. To make your cube, the first thing you need to do is pull your three square flappy things apart. When you do that, you should have six separate index cards, and each card should have two flaps. I'm going to let you solve the spatial puzzle of how to turn your six flappy index cards into a cube. Hint, the flaps always go on the outside. Take the next 4 minutes to solve the puzzle. Solicit support as needed. Later today, for round four, gather 19 of your friends and use your 20 cubes to make a level one manger sponge. That's a cube comprised of 20 smaller cubes. And if you're ambitious, use 20 level one manger sponges to make a level two manger sponge, an even bigger cube. Emily Gibbs, some students and I once made a level three manger sponge out of index cards. That was a really big cube. There are enough index cards in the ballroom to make that happen. The question is, are you up to the collaborative challenge? Share your round four progress on social media using the NFB22 hashtag. Keep thinking spatially and stretching the dimensions of non-visual learning. And remember, STEM isn't visual, it's spatial. Thank you.